Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Yahweh, Most High, we come before you on this evening of the day of Tabernacles, the first day. We give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for the ability to be here. Some of us have traveled long distances to be here, and we give you thanks that you watched over us, you made our trips uneventful. We're rejoicing with people of like precious faith. We're enjoying our time together, worshiping you, hearing your word, eating good food, spiritual and physical. We know, Father, that there are those on the prayer list. We once again lift them up to you, and we believe that you are and that your reward are those that diligently seek you. We diligently seek you, Father, and we believe that you've given us promises to stand upon. The promises are absolutely useless if we don't stand upon them, if we don't make use of them. And we have been. We've been asking you and entreating you to move on the behalf of those that are on the prayer list, Father. And we know you will. We love you. We love Yeshua. We love one another. And it's good to be here. Give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. I pray that you would fill my mouth. Help those to hear what you want them to hear. Help me to say what you want me to say. Help us to go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. Be with each and every one of us this evening and help us to get a good night's sleep. We just pray, Father, that we'd wake up refreshed, ready to tackle another day. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. And amen. This is titled Temple Desecration. This Christine and I, we talk a lot. We talk about anything. And one night we were talking about, you know, how the world has got a proclivity to eat pork, to take drugs. They treat the symptoms rather than the actual cause of the problem. Why there's so much sexual immorality. And we know, as Yahweh's people, that it's the enemy's main plan is to usurp the authority and the worship of Yahweh. And if you would, let's turn to Isaiah 14:12. Can you? Isaiah 14:12. And this isn't going to be long. I know we've had a long day and we've got full bellies, and so I'm going to try to get this done. But in Isaiah chapter 14, we'll read verses 12 to 14. He says, how have you fallen from heaven? Okay, number one, something has fallen from heaven. Some people say that this doesn't talk about Satan. I believe it does because he was in heaven. It says, how have you fallen from heaven, O light bringer and day star, son of the morning? How have you been cut down to the ground, you who weakened and laid low the nations, O blasphemous, satanic king of Babylon? And you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Elohim. I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now, how many times did we see the word I in there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is a very egotistical purpose. He has a plan. I. And he wants to ascend above the heights of the clouds, and he wants to make himself like the Most High. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5, beginning with verse 5. We can see that Satan wants dominion. He wants to be worshipped. Luke chapter 4. This is, I'm just, right now, just laying the groundwork for this. This is chapter 4, verse 5, and we'll read 5 through 8. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Then the devil took him, and that of course is Yeshua, up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, the Amplified says. And he said to him, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, their excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. For it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. This is Satan's system. Let's not forget that. This is Satan's system, and he is in authority. And and he has the preeminence in this system. And he says in verse 7, therefore, if you will do homage to and worship me just once, it shall all be yours. And Yeshua replied to him, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall do homage to and worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. So clearly, the enemy's plan is to destroy the worship of Yahweh and procure the worship to himself. We see time and time again where the enemies, motivated by Satan, have come into the places where Yahweh's temple was and destroyed Yahweh's worship by desecrating the temple. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Greg used this morning, and sometimes we steal from one another. This time I stole it from him. Hallelujah. Of course, it's not stealing if he gives it to me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read verses 7 through 9. For the mystery of lawlessness. Now, what exactly is lawlessness? It means no law. There's no law. We hear it all the time. The law has been done away with. That's the mystery of lawlessness. The hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, and the Master Yeshua will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing as coming. The coming of the lawless one is through the activity and working of Satan. So we can see it's Satan's behind all this. He's behind all the lawlessness. He's wanting people to renounce the law, put the law away, stop the worship, stop worshiping Yahweh, stop doing what he's doing, what he's telling you to do. Start doing your own thing. If it feels good, do it. The coming of the lawless one is through the activity and working of Satan and will be attended by great power and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders. Lying wonders. He is the author of lies. So we're going to take right now a look at the former temple and the way that the former temple was desecrated. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings chapter 24, as we look at the former temples, how were the former temples desecrated? We'll begin verses 10. We'll read through 13. 2 Kings 24, verse 10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up to Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, surrendered to the king of Babylon, he, his mother, his servants, princes, and palace officials. The king of Babylon took him prisoner in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He carried off all the treasures of Yahweh's house and the king's house and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold in the temple of Yahweh, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made, as Yahweh had said. He carried away all Jerusalem, all the princes, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest of the land. So clearly we can see Nebuchadnezzar, he took the vessels, cut them apart. He brought an end to the worship of Yahweh. 2 Kings 25:8. Eight and nine says, he burned the house of Yahweh, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, every great house he burned down. All the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the Babylonian guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. You can clearly see that he even burned down the house of Yahweh. The temple was destroyed. I'm going to read an excerpt from 1 Maccabees, beginning in verse 21. 1 Maccabees chapter 1, 21. Usually, I try to read this during
Oh, the eight menorah.
Hanukkah, yes. I try to read this. And this is a great story. It shows Yahweh's power and how he uses a family to overthrow pagan governments. Beginning 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 21, this is another example of how the former temples were desecrated. And after Antiochus had ravaged Egypt in the 143rd year, he returned and went up against Israel. And he went up to Jerusalem with a great multitude, and he proudly entered into the sanctuary and took away the golden altar and the candlestick of light and all the vessels thereof and the table of proposition and the pouring vessels and the vials and the little mortars of gold and the veil and the crowns and the golden ornament that was before the temple. And he broke them all in pieces. And he took the silver and gold and the precious vessels, and he took the hidden treasures which he found. And when he had taken all away, he departed into his own country. And he made a great slaughter of men and spoke very proudly. And there was great mourning in Israel in every place where they were. And the princes and the ancients mourned. And the virgins and the young men were made feeble, and the beauty of the women was changed. Every bridegroom took up lamentation, and the bride that sat in the marriage bed mourned. And the land was moved for the inhabitants thereof, and all the house of Jacob was discovered with confusion. Who's the author of confusion? Satan, it's not Yahweh. And after two full years, the king sent the chief collector of his tributes to the cities of Judah. And he came to Jerusalem with a great multitude, and he spoke to them peaceable words in deceit. He lied. He was deceitful. And they believed him. And he fell upon the city suddenly and struck it with a great slaughter and destroyed much people in Israel. And he took the spoils of the city and burnt it with fire and threw down the houses thereof and the walls thereof round about. And they took the women captive and the children and the cattle they possessed. And they built the city of David with a great and strong wall and with strong towers and made it a fortress for them. And they placed there a sinful nation, wicked men, and they fortified themselves there, and they stored up armor and victuals, and gathered together the spoils of Jerusalem, and laid them up there, and they became a great snare. And there was a place to lie in wait against the sanctuary, and an evil devil in Israel. And they shed innocent blood round about the sanctuary, and defiled the holy place. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem fled away by reason of them. And the city was made the habitation of strangers. She became a stranger to her own seed, and her children forsook her. Her sanctuary was desolate like a wilderness. Her festival days were turned into mourning. Her Sabbaths into reproach. Her honors were brought to nothing. Her dishonor was increased according to her glory, and her excellency was turned into mourning. And King Antiochus wrote all his kingdom that all the people should be one, going to unite, and everyone should leave his own law. You're not going to do Yahweh's law. You're going to do my law. I'm in control. Now you're going to do what I say, and it's my law. And all the nations consented according to the word of King Antiochus, and many of Israel consented to his service. What choice did they have? And they sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. And the king sent letters by the hands of messengers to Jerusalem and to all the cities of Judah that they should follow the law of the nations of the earth. Not the law of Yahweh, but the law of the nations of the earth. Sounds like the time we're in. We are in slavery, people. And should forbid holocausts and sacrifices and atonements to be made in the temple of Yahweh. And should prohibit the Sabbath and the festival days to be celebrated. And he commanded the holy places to be profaned and the holy people of Israel. And he commanded altars to be built and temples and idols and swine's flesh to be immolated and unclean beasts. And they that should leave their children uncircumcised and let their souls be defiled with all uncleannesses and abominations to the end that they should forget the law. And should change all the justifications of Yahweh. and that whosoever would not do according to the word of King Antiochus should be put to death. According to all these words, he wrote to his whole kingdom, and he appointed rulers over the people that should force them to do these things. They had to do them or they would die. And they commanded the cities of Judah to sacrifice. Then many of the people were gathered to them that had forsaken the law of Yahweh, and they committed evils in the land. They drove away the people of Israel into lurking holes and into the secret places of fugitives. Sounds utterly detestable. What a mess. What a horror to have been alive in that time. That's a good story. If you get the chance, read Maccabees. It doesn't sound encouraging, but it is a very encouraging book. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 6. Hosea chapter 4. Clearly see that the temple of Yahweh was desecrated with swine's flesh, all sorts of evils. What I'm doing is there's going to be a parallel here, so bear with me. There will be a parallel that I'm going to bring out. Hosea 4, begin in verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you, the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your Elohim, I will also forget your children. The more they increase and multiply in prosperity and power, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame." The more prosperity they had, the more they sinned against me. Remember Proverbs 30:7-9, which says, "Two things have I asked of you, O Yahweh. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give us the truth. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is Yahweh?' Or lest I be poor and steal and so profane the name of my Elohim." There's a balance. There's a balance. Continuing on, Hosea 4, 8. "They feed on the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people like priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall play the harlot and beget no increase." Will play the harlot and beget no increase because they have forsaken Yahweh for harlotry. Harlotry and new wine. Harlotry and wine and new wine have taken away the heart and the mind and the spiritual understanding. "My people habitually ask counsel of their senseless wood idols, and their staff of wood gives them oracles and instructs them. For the spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, withdrawing themselves from subjection to their Elohim." They've totally forgotten Yahweh. "They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains, and they burn incense upon the hills, and under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because there the shade is good. Therefore your daughters play the harlot, and your sons' wives commit adultery." Isn't it amazing how wine, alcohol, drugs is pursued, how harlotry and sex is pursued in this system, and how eating unclean things is okay? Continuing in verse 14, "I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery. For the fathers and husbands themselves go aside in order to be alone with women who prostitute themselves for gain. And they sacrifice at the altar with dedicated harlots who surrender their chastity in honor of the goddess. Therefore the people without understanding shall stumble and fall and come to ruin. Though you, Israel, play the harlot and worship idols, let not Judah offend and become guilty. Come not to Gilgal, neither go up to Beth-Aven." Contemptuous reference to Bethel, then noted for idolatry. "Nor swear an idolatrous service, saying, 'As Yahweh lives.' For Israel has behaved stubbornly, like a stubborn heifer. How then should he expect to be fed and treated by Yahweh like a lamb? a large pasture. Ephraim is joined to idols. So let him alone to make the consequences. They're drinking carousal over, they go habitually to play the harlot. Ephraim's rulers continue to love shame more than our glory. The restless wind of Yahweh's wrath has bound up Israel in its wing. And in captivity, they and their altars shall be put to shame because of their sacrifices. Sacrificing to the sun, moon, and the stars, to the heathen gods. Notice what Yahweh's admonition is to us in Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, we'll read verses 13 to 16. Temple desecration. How does that apply to us today? Well, we're going to find out. Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 to 16 says, "And if you will diligently heed my commandments which I command you this day, to love Yahweh your Elohim and serve him with all your mind and heart and with your entire being, I will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle that you may eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, lest your minds and your hearts be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." I did say the word God. I'm going to repeat it again. I only use the term Elohim for Yahweh. I will use the word God when it applies to idols, because we know that God is the name of a pagan mighty one. We also know that Yahweh's worship is a pure worship, which is not to be mixed with paganism or anything that is contrary to his way of living. He will not share his worship or glory with another. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am Yahweh, that is my name. I am Yahweh, that is my name. I am Yahweh, that is my name." How much plainer does it have to be? His name is Yahweh. "And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images." Clearly, Yahweh is a jealous El, and he has told us so in his Exodus 34. Go over to Exodus 34. You're going to see that Yahweh is jealous. We'll read verses 14 to 16. Exodus 34, 14 to 16. "For you shall worship no other God, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous Elohim. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they play the harlot after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and one invites you, you eat of his food sacrificed to idols. And you take care of their daughters for your, and you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters play the harlot after their gods, and make your son play the harlot after their gods." Clearly, Yahweh is jealous. He does not want us to be worshiping other mighty ones. Joshua 24, verses 19 to 21. Joshua 24, 19 to 21 says, "And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for he is a holy Elohim. He is a jealous Elohim. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake Yahweh and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Yeshua, "No, but we will serve Yahweh." Clearly, he's jealous. Now we're going to take a look at the modern temple. What is the modern temple? Why? How can the modern temple be desecrated? And I want you to, as I'm reading this, I want you to notice the parallels made between the desecration of the former temple and the modern temple, the temple of today. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27 says, "Elohim said, let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth and over everything that creeps upon the earth. I don't see anywhere in there where it says that we're supposed to have dominion over another man. We're supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Man only has dominion over us if we give him dominion. And the sad point is we've given him dominion. Elohim was to be our king. He was to be our ruler. He was to be our leader and our guide. Israel said, no, we want a king like the other nations. Now, Lord. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's go to Isaiah 65. And I believe that's one reason why Satan is angry with mankind, is because Yahweh made us in his image and he's given us the dominion over everything. We are supposed to be in control. Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 1. And it says, I was ready to be inquired of by those who asked not. I was ready to be found by those who sought me not. Yahweh's there. He's wanting people to worship him. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that has not called on my name. I have spread out my hands all the day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing to idols and gardens and burning incense upon bricks, who sit among the graves and lodge among the secret places where familiar spirits were thought to dwell, who eat swine's flesh and their broth of abominable and loathsome things in their vessels. So obviously they're eating swine's flesh and drinking and eating abominable and loathsome things to Yahweh. Clearly, Yahweh doesn't want us doing these things. Who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am set apart from you, and lest I sanctify you. Obviously, these people thought that they were holy. They were set apart, sanctified. And they said, don't come near me, I'm holy. Obviously, they weren't. Yahweh says that they were doing abominable things. He says, these are smoke in my nostrils. Fire that burns all the day. You ever had smoke up your nostrils? Makes you cough. And I remember the first time I tried smoking, and it's like, oh, goodness. Hack and cough, and snot running out. It's like, why would anybody want to do that? I didn't even think about the meth. Why would anybody want to do meth? People do it. I guess they're just sickos. Temple desecration. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. We'll read verses 13 to 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, actually through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. We're going to look at what the new temple is and how it's being desecrated today. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, food is intended for the stomach and the stomach for food, but Yahweh will finally end the functions of both and bring them to nothing. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for Yahweh, and Yahweh is intended for the saved, sanctifies, and raise it again. And Yahweh both raised Yeshua to life and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not see and know that your bodies are members, they're bodily parts of the Messiah? We are all part of the body of the Messiah. Am I therefore to take the parts of Yeshua and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never. We read earlier about how there were prostitutes that the Israelites were dealing with. Or do you not know in verse 16 and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. Instead of it being a man and a woman, husband and wife, it's now a man and a prostitute. But the person who is united to Yeshua becomes one spirit with him, husband and wife. We know the scriptures give the analogy of a husband and wife relationship with the body of the Messiah and Yeshua himself. It says in verse 18, shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. I believe that sexual looseness implies having sex just for the sex. There's no commitment, no decision to become one with your partner. There's no thought about the welfare of the partner or about marriage. One night stands what comes to mind here. Moving from one sexual partner to another is sexual looseness, much like dogs do. Dogs do it all the time. Basically, humans have lowered themselves to that of brute beasts when they engage in this type of behavior. Brute beasts. Should be higher than that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from Yahweh? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then honor Yahweh and bring glory to him in your body. Our body is our temple. It seems like Yahweh is stealing the worship of Yahweh and we desecrate our temple. Pork, drugs, sexual immorality. It's running rampant in this nation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6, read 14 to 17. 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 14 to 17. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith, the Amplified says. For what partnership have right living and right standing with Elohim, with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Mashiach and Belial? For what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of Yahweh and idols? For we are the temple of the living Elohim. Even as Yahweh said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in with and among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. So come out from among them, and separate yourselves from them, says Yahweh, and touch not any unclean thing. We're not to touch the unclean. How do we know what's unclean? Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14 tells us. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Clearly we can see that we are to be higher than the world. Yahweh has set us apart. He has sanctified us for a special purpose, and that is the worship of Yahweh. We should not ever desecrate our temple. Let's go to Revelation 14:2 as we draw this to a close. Revelation 14:2. Read verses 2 through 5. Yeah, we'll read start with verse 1. Verse 1 is a good verse. It says, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb stood upon Mount Zion with him 144,000 who had his name, the Lamb's name, Yeshua, and his Father's name, Yahweh, on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of great waters and like the rumbling of mighty thunder. The voice I heard seemed like the music of harpists accompanying themselves on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne of Yahweh and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been ransomed, purchased, and redeemed from the earth. These are they who have not defiled themselves by relations with women. And, of course, the term women there is false religion. For they are as pure as virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are they who have been ransomed, purchased, and redeemed from among men as the first fruits for Yahweh and the Lamb. No lie was found to be upon their lips, for they are blameless. They are spotless, unclean tainted and without blemish before the throne of Yahweh. We need to be higher. And in closing, let's go to Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7. And just for a mention, verse 3 says, do not harm the earth nor the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our Elohim upon their foreheads. So there's going to be a seal. It's going to be placed upon the foreheads of the saints. And it's going to be the name of Yahweh and the name of Yeshua. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9, we'll read through 17, says, after this I looked, and a vast host appeared which no one could count, gathered out of every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. These stood before the throne, before the Lamb. They were attired in white robes with palm branches in their hands. In a loud voice they cried, saying, our salvation is due to our Elohim, who is sitting on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell prostrate before the throne and worshiped Yahweh. Amen, so be it, they cried, blessing and glory and majesty and splendor and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might be ascribed to our Elohim, to the ages and ages, forever and ever, throughout the eternities of the eternities. Amen, so be it. Then addressing me, one of the elders said, who are these clothed in the white, long white robes, and from where have they come? I replied, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are now before the very throne of Yahweh and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And he who is sitting upon the throne will protect and spread his tabernacle over and shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither shall thirst any more, neither shall the sun smite them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the waters of life, and Yahweh will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So praise Yahweh, we can see that we have a modern-day temple. We see that the world is constantly desecrating its temple, and it's... and Satan is using that to steal the worship of Yahweh. So may Yahweh bless us as we strive to put only good things, wholesome things, not only in our bodies, but in our hearts and our minds. Garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in, good stuff out. It's computer talk. This time I'm going to ask Brother Charlie Hostel if he would come forward and offer a prayer for the sermon.
Father Yahweh, thank you again for bringing us all here together. You know, our little group, Father, which you have brought together. And we thank you for bringing us here. And please, Father, let us all enjoy the rest of the days which we are going to be here. And we thank you in Yahshua's most holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Conference muted.
Stop recording.